only one that could redeem us would be a man. He took a sinless man. Kind of narrows it down a pretty good bit, doesn't it? Pure Lamb of God. All right, take your Bible tonight. Turn to Hebrews 11 and Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to finish the message this morning. I only did half of it. Good stuff in here. I don't know how much you get out of it. I tell you what, I love the Bible. I'm a Bible believer, man. I'm a runt. I could live without a lot of things in life, but I couldn't live without that Bible. I'd die. I mean, not just spiritually, physically. I believe I would die if I didn't have the Bible at this point in my life. It means that much to me. First thing I look for in the morning is a cup of coffee and my Bible. Like Brother Bob Smith, as sick as he is, he can't hardly get out of bed. He crawls in, he'll say, call me a while back, and he tells me all the time, I got up to get me a cup of coffee and read my Bible. And I'm going back to bed. That's all he lives for. Without that Bible, I'd die. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Hebrews 11 and Genesis chapter 6, it speaks to me. Noah was 6,000 years ago, and yet it's like, here I am, Lord. I'm in the same boat Noah was in a lot of ways. Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 6, and we gave a little bit this morning in Genesis chapter 6 and Hebrews 11. We'll start in Genesis chapter 6, kind of bring us where we're at in Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis 6:5. We'll pick it up there. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil, was only evil continually. Not really a good thing to say about man. You know why people don't like the Bible? Because what it says about them, amen?
Yeah.
Mark Twain says, read the Bible, it'll scare the hell out of you, he used to say.
Yeah. Amen.
Moody said, it's not what I don't understand about the Bible that bothers me, it's what I understand that bothers me. Genesis 5, and his heart was only evil continually, and he repented of the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. And I believe this, by the way, just like it says. You say you believe that just like it says, there was a flood that came through, and God reached over there and grabbed a man named Noah, and Noah built a boat. I sure do, just exactly like it says. And history and the world shows that, by the way. And from the face of the earth, both men and beasts, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for repented me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Despite everything going on in the world with Noah, and the Bible says, the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man in Luke 17. And despite all the world like that, Brother Josh, and despite this thing was gone to hell in the handbasket, despite there was so much going on, the Sodomites were running wild, and despite when God looked at it, he could only find one man. Brother, there was one man that walked with God. And they say, one man in God is a majority. I'd rather be in Noah's boat than the boat of the world, by the way. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he is the only man on this earth. At the time the Bible said he walked with God, there came a time in my life after I got saved, I crawled in a closet one day, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. It's been 40 years ago, Brother Josh. And I crawled in that closet, and I got before God after I'd read my Bible through about 10 times. And God had I just realized this world, everything about it was nothing but dust. And I said, God, I said, I'm not much, but what I got, Lord, it's yours.
Yeah.
I said, it's yours. I'm just one person. I said, Lord, I don't care whatever happens anybody else does, but I said, Lord, I'm going to try to serve you and give you what I can. Don't have much, Lord, but what I got, I'll let you have.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11. Noah was just a man. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. I love Noah. Everybody knows about Noah. And I believe in Noah just like the Bible says. Hebrews 11, 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, knew with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which by faith. And we saw that this morning, the first 3 points of the message. And Noah being warned of God of things not as yet seen. And that's what you, every one of us in here, has been called to do. Nobody in here seen hell. Nobody's seen Jesus Christ. Nobody's seen the man that that Chris sings about. We've not seen any of those things. Everything we believe and everything we preach, everything we sing, everything we do is based one thing, and it's on faith.
Amen.
Just like Noah. Amen. Noah never saw a drop of rain.
Amen.
The Bible said it never rained. Being warned of God of things not yet seen. And it said he moved with fear. And Noah, he was warned. And he moved just like you and I. We get the warning. Then there's the moving. And the Bible said he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He wasn't trying to save the world. Too many times we try to save the world and solve the world's problems, Brother Chris. And Brother, God wants us to narrow it down to our house. And the ones around us. You know what the hope for America's always been? The home. It's not the churches. They didn't take the Bible out of the school, they took it out of the homes. How many of you read your Bible with your kid? How many times your kid and grandkids around you have seen you on your knees praying and reading the Bible? How many times have they seen you trying to prepare an ark to the saving of your house?
Amen.
Our country went downhill, brother, when the homes went downhill.
Yeah.
Noah started building that ark, brother. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Not the world. You're not going to save the world. I tell you, when I got out of Bible school, Brother Josh, I was pumped up, me and my wife. Son, I was ready to take the devil and hell on right then, brother. I was ready to save the world, Miss Samantha. Man, you get down there 4 years, Bible pumped into you, and you're waiting to go. Man, I got out real fast. And brother, I found out real quick I wasn't going to save this world. I realized real quick after I got stopped down a couple of times, Brother Jeff, and spit on a few times, I realized this thing is pretty doggone tough. I better stick with the house for right now. And that's where I started, brother. And that's where I wanted to go. In my ministry through the years, my wife can attest to this. Everything I did, my kids were involved.
Amen.
When I went to Jimmy Hale Mission, which I'm trying to get back in there right now, by the way, my kids are little bitty things. They sit in a car seat. They wasn't big enough. They wasn't a year old, some of them. And some of them weren't even born when we started down there. And my wife would sit on the piano up there, and we'd put the kids on the piano. That's how they learned. They'd stand up, little bitty guys, and quote scriptures. I used to go down to the youth home with Brother David Wood. When he first started, he had that thing and helped him out and preached for him. Some of my wife would play, and it got where they wouldn't let the families come. I told Brother Wood, I said, if my family can't come, I'm not interested. I said, whatever. Every time I've ever preached, Brother Josh, probably it's not been five times since we've been married that I preached, that woman wouldn't sit right there somewhere. She was there. A lot of times my kids were there too. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And the next thing I want you to know, pick up tonight, look what it said in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Man, I love this Bible. This thing's unbelievable.
Amen.
I mean, people say, how do you get sermons up? All you have to do is read the Bible, isn't it, Brother Chris?
Amen.
I have verses, a natural sermon. He was warned. He moved. He prepared. And the next thing, he condemned. Look what it said. It said he moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of the house. Look what it said, verse 7. By the which he welcomed the world into his home. By the which. That means by what he just did by building that ark and what he did and he moved with fear and built that ark and prepared that ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world.
Amen.
You know why when I got saved, Brother Josh, and got saved and wanted to serve God, there came a point in my life when I just had to condemn the world. I just had to say goodbye, world, goodbye, brother. And cuts comes to a point because this world will take your spiritual life out of you. It'll take and suck it out of you like a vacuum cleaner if you're not careful.
Amen.
You know what Noah did? Brother, he moved with fear and prepared an ark, and he condemned the world when he did that. Turn over to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5 and Genesis 7. You know, when Noah was on the earth, people lived to be 800 years. Noah lived, he was 600 years old when that flood came. Number 6, by the way. He was 600 years in that flood. They grew up. They had a lot of friends. Somebody said probably in the days of Noah, there were millions of people on the earth. Millions of them. Look what it said in Genesis 5:25, and Methuselah lived 187 years. Come down to verse 29. He called his name Noah, saying, "His name shall comfort us concerning his work and what's all of our hands." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 590 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. So and so, there was a lot of people on the earth when Noah was in the flood. There was a lot of people, brother. Let me tell you, when Noah walked in that ark, brother Josh, there was a lot of people that he shut out that day.
Amen.
There was a lot of family. There was a lot of friends that day. There was only 8 people that got in that ark, and that was his 3 boys and their wives. You know what he did when he prepared that ark to the saving of his house? He let the world go to hell. He condemned the world. You know what's wrong with a lot of us sometimes? We try to break the world in the ark.
Oh, amen.
He prepared an ark to the saving of his soul and condemned the world.
Right.
Look at Genesis chapter 7, verse 6. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the waters was upon the earth. He had 600 years. He had friends, all kind of thing. When Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which, it said, by the which, he did what? He condemned. He condemned the world. Turn to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. You looking for a Bible? There you go. Okay. Wait. What's your name? Nice to meet you. Sit for where?
From Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile. Praise the Lord. How'd you find about here? From all the way here. Okay, praise the Lord. Your name's Steve? All right, Brother Steve. Well, I can hear your Bible. Genesis chapter 7. And Noah condemned the world. He was moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And it said in Hebrews 11:7, he condemned the world. And look at Genesis chapter 7:15 says this. And they went into the ark, went into Noah into the ark, 2 by 2 of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him. And watch this. And the Lord shut him in. You know what happened when I got saved, Brother Anthony? God shut me in, brother. God put me in Jesus Christ and shut me in. And that day when Noah walked in the ark, you know what God did? Brother Josh, Mr. Martha, he walked over there and closed that door that day. And he shut Noah in. And let me tell you something else he did. He shut the world out. He shut the world out. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that day when Noah went in the ark, God shut him in and shut the world out. By the which, he condemned the world. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I tell you what, when I got saved, I've been saved for 42 years now. And before I got saved, man, I was in the world like a duck on a June bug, like most of you. You know, brother and I got saved after a few years. Boy, this world just started losing its glimmer.
Amen.
I mean, it just started, things that I love, Brother Chris, I begin to hate. And the things that I begin to despise, I begin to love the things of God. I'm 62 years old now, and I look back at my life, and looking at now, I mean, this world is so dim now, man, it's hard to even, I don't even want to go to Walmart. I really don't, my wife tell you. If I go to Walmart, I want to know where it's at, and I'm going there and get it, and I'm getting out. Fast as I can go. I don't like going to the gas station. Say why? It's too early. I don't like it. I just want to stay and tell people about Jesus and preach the Word of God and read the Bible. You say, well, the world is not my home.
Amen.
I'm just a passing through.
Right.
Look over 2 Peter chapter 2. You know when Noah went in that thing? You're out. I mean, this is a real story, folks. This is a man just like me and you. Noah wasn't Superman. But when he walked in that ark, Brother Zito, and God shut him in, he shut that door. When that door shut, you know what he realized? This whole world was going to be destroyed. And he believed God that much to go in that ark and say goodbye to this world and let God destroy it. See, what did he do, preacher? By the which he condemned the world. Look over 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned and cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Watch it. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Watch this, what it says about Noah. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You say, who was doing that? A preacher of righteousness. Noah preached for 120 years. Eight people got in there. You know what? He still got in that ark. It doesn't matter, folks, how many people go with you. It don't how many go on the street with you, Brother Josh, when you got started. It don't know how matter how many, brother. I'm going to tell you, when God's in it, God's in it.
Amen.
And Noah got in that ark, brother, and he let the whole world drown. And God shut him in.
Amen.
By the which he condemned the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We quote it on the street. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is what? Condemned already.
Amen.
The condemnation is here. This is the condemnation. This is the condemnation that light has come to the world. And man loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You say, well, he said, Noah condemned the world. We're not part of the world. Have you been saved, brethren? He condemned the world that day. You know why this world, a lot of time, most of the time, hates God's people so much? You know why they want to remove Christ from Christmas? You know why they want to take crosses out? You know why they do that? Because we and those things condemn them. He that believeth on the Son hath life. John 3:36. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And every time we go out on the street and tell a tract and stand out there and preach, why we get a lot of people mad and stuff, you say why? Because by what we're doing, we're condemning the world.
Amen.
It said by the which Noah condemned the world.
Amen.
Jesus Christ over and over warned us about it. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you.
Amen.
1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Brother, this world is not my home. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Man, this is all I had down here. I couldn't be a Jehovah's Witness. You know what Jehovah's Witness believe? They believe heaven's here. They believe paradise is on earth.
Right.
I cancel that deal right there. I mean, if it's the best that God could do is this duck down here, I'd say, count me out. I'd go get on the Mormons. At least they go going to inhabit and populate outer space. I think that'd be a better deal messing around this thing down here. Amen. I like what God's got. I hath not seen nor you heard. Neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them. That's what I'm looking for, brother. Noah, by the which he condemned the world. This world's not my home. And I like to go out there street preaching and go out on the streets and take a stand wherever I can. I like to take a stand every once in a while and just do something stupid for the Lord, something foolish, and just something like Brother Ben stands up in these fast foods and does. I like to do something stupid. You say, why? Just to make the world know that I'm not part of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Lady, one time, we used to work with this consultant firm when I got out of a Bible school in Birmingham and data consultants. It was the smartest group, Miss Samantha, I ever worked with in my life. These guys were Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. I'm serious. This guy started this business when he was 18 in his bedroom. And we did consulting for oil companies. That's what we did. And as the smartest people I've ever seen in my life. I mean, these people were geniuses. And they hired me right out of college, right from Bible school, moved me up here and everything. And they were, a lot of them were Christian people. And I was pastoring the church at the time, right out of Bible school. And they liked me, man. Because I was a preacher, you know. They respected me, you know, and everything. And I remember one time they were trying to have a picnic, and they were trying to get all the families involved. They'd done it before, Brother Josh. But I wasn't interested. I'm not interested. My kids were little. I didn't want to fool with that kind of junk. And so this time they said, no alcohol, no smoking, no drinking, all that, trying to get me in. And they made Taylor trying to get me to come. And I never forget one of the girls, Laura, she was a secretary. She said, Carrie, you going to come, aren't you now? I said, no, I don't think I'll make it. I remember she looked at me. She said, you know what? She said, you're a stick in the mud, what you are. You know, I told her. I said, I'd rather be a stick in the mud. Amen. I'd rather be a stick in the mud than be just a part of the mud. And by the which Noah condemned the world. That song, I'm a poor wayfaring stranger traveling through this world of woe, where there's no sickness, no toil or danger to that bright land to which I go. Brother, I'm looking for something better. I'm a pilgrim down here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I love this Bible. By faith, oh Noah, he was warned of things, but being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and he condemned the world. By the which he condemned the world. Hebrews 11:13 says this, talking about some of those that died in faith. Hebrews 11 is a faith. The Faith Hall of Fame there. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They didn't see them. And were persuaded of them. That's where we're at. And embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Boy, when I got saved, my life changed. Inside out, outside in, wherever which way. And brother, after a while, I realized that this world is not my home.
Amen.
I'm just a pilgrim down here.
Right.
I'm just waiting to go home and be with my daddy. And Noah, by the which, he condemned the world. You know, we think of the world. You know what we think of? Television. Let's get on television. We talk about the internet, Facebook, all those things. But brother, you know what? In the 1920s, the world was still, you know what it was back then? It was radio. That old ungodly radio you folks ain't never listening to. It was jazz music back in those days. It was a Model T back in those days. I mean, that was the world. We try to define the world in the technology and the culture and the politics and the things of today. But brother, that world's always been a curse. Elijah Hoffman, he wrote that song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, that we just sang. He wrote over 2,000 hymns. He was born in the 1800s. He wrote, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, down at the cross, is your heart right with thee? Is your all on the altar? And he wrote that song, I Must Tell Jesus. I love that song. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves.
Amen, amen.
And cares for His own. The last verse of this song always gets me. He wrote this in the 1800s. He was a Presbyterian preacher. The last verse says, oh, how the world to evil allures me. Hey! There was no world in the 1800s. They didn't have cars. They didn't have none of the things that we preach against about the world. But that stinking world was still there, brother. That vacuum cleaner, that back, it sucked the spiritual life out of you. Elijah Hoffman said, oh, how the world with its evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus He will help me over the world the victory to win.
Amen, amen.
Over there in Colossians chapter 4:14. Paul's writing about Luke, the beloved physician. And Demas. And Demas went with him. And Demas greet you. Demas walked with him. Demas, Brother Josh, Demas walked with the Apostle Paul.
I could handle that, brother. I think that helped me. I don't know about you. I think that helped me to go along with Apostle Paul a little bit. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, when Paul's ready to be beheaded, he said this, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world."
Amen.
Brother, you know, there was nothing going on in the world what we think back in the days. Everything we preach against of the world is not what the things of the world so much. It's that whole world. Galatians 1:4 says about Jesus who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. You know what Noah did when he walked in that thing, Brother Chris? He prepared that ark to the saving of his house. And when God shut him in that day, brother, He condemned the world. You can't take the world and Jesus. It don't work that way. They're totally opposite, friends. They're totally opposite. John Wesley, the great preacher, he lived in the 1700s. John Wesley said, "All that cools my love for Christ is the world." I've read his journal probably 10 times. That's the most holy man I've ever read about. And if that world would bother and get hold of John Wesley, Brother Jeff, man, he can take us and twist us around and suck us through like a vacuum cleaner. He condemned the world. By the which He condemned the world. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. "And became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Look what it didn't say. It didn't say He became heir of the world, did it? God's not too interested in this world, brethren. But He's interested in righteousness. God's not interested. He condemned the world, Noah said. But He became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
Amen.
You know, Noah, the first thing he had to do before he became that righteousness, you know what he had to do? He had to condemn that old world. The world and righteousness don't go along, by the way. They're like oil and water. They won't mix. He was warned. He moved. He prepared. He condemned. And He became an heir of righteousness. You know what it sounds like a lot to me? This Bible speaks to me. It sounds like me. What it sounds like. It sounds like a Christian. I was warned. I think not yet seen. I was talking about hell, going to hell. I moved one day and got on my knees in Pleasant Grove, Alabama, and got saved. I moved with fear. I was fear of going to hell. And I prepared an ark to the saving of a house. I began reading my Bible. I began praying. I mean, again, witness. I began telling people about Jesus, trying to save my house. Then the next thing I do, I condemn the world. I decided I'm going to live for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then I became. God made me an heir. An heir of righteousness. The word heir, you know what that means? That means an inheritance. That means one who inherits or takes from an ancestor such as a father. I mean, I didn't work for it. I didn't deserve it. It was given to me by an inheritance. He became an heir.
Amen.
Of righteousness.
Yes,
by faith. 2 Corinthians, turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21 and get Romans 5. 2 Corinthians 5, Romans 5. It's amazing how much Noah's like us, isn't it? How we was warned of things not seen as yet. How we moved with fear. How we prepared an ark to the saving of our house. How we condemned the world. And how we became an heir of righteousness by faith. Look over there in 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is a great verse. I could quote it. I want you to look at it. It's a great verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Him."
Amen.
When God sees me, He don't see the sin. He don't see Terry Watkins. He sees the righteousness of His Son. A perfect, sinless righteousness that I took on. Just like Noah became an heir of righteousness.
Amen.
Look over Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For by one man's offense death reigned by one, and much more they which receive abundance of grace into the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The gift of what? Righteousness.
Amen.
Became an heir of righteousness. Go back to Hebrews 11 and get Romans chapter 3. Hebrews 11 and Romans chapter 3. See, he was warned. Then he moved. Could have stopped at the warning. Noah could have said, okay, Lord, I'm not interested. I'm too old. I can't build a boat for 120 years. You get somebody else. Get Brother Zorro over there to do that. He could have sat down and said, hey, I'm not moving. I'm going to stay. I got to cut the grass, Lord. Let me cut the grass. I got to stay home, Lord, take care of the house. All right, Lord, I got to stay home and feed the dogs. He didn't. He moved. Not only did he move, he prepared. He didn't just get up and go fiddle-faddle around. He worked at this thing. And he not only prepared, he condemned. Not only condemned, he became after that. See, it took moving. It took warning. It took preparing. It took condemning before he became an heir of righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Romans 3:22. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Look at Hebrews 11, 7 first. Look at it. Hebrews 11, 7. Look at the first two words, what it says. By faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. Look at the last two words of Hebrews 11, 7. By faith. You see, it starts with faith, and it is with faith. For then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The just shall walk by faith. It's all by faith.
That's right.
Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is what? By faith of Jesus Christ unto all them that believe. There is no difference. The righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. Flip over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Last verse I'm going to give you. Philippians chapter 3. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, if you're saved this morning, you're truly saved, you know what you became? You became an heir of righteousness. You got the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith.
Amen.
When you got saved. It said, when you believe, that verse said, by faith, you was given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Just like Noah. He was an heir of righteousness. Not the world. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, count doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, by whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Watch it. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. It wasn't Noah's righteousness. He became an heir. He became an inheritance. It was given to him. Why? Because he warned, he moved, he prepared, he condemned. And he became.
Amen.
Not having my own righteousness, look what it says, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness of which is of God by faith. When you got saved by faith, you became an heir of righteousness. And God clothed you with that righteousness just like Noah. But remember where all Noah started. Remember where he started. One little word started over there in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found what? Grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. Without the grace, brother, there's no faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith is how you get there, but it wouldn't for that grace of God, there'd be no salvation.
Amen.
If Noah would have never found grace in the eyes of God, he could have had all the faith he wanted in the world, but he wouldn't have done any good. And he became an heir of righteousness. You know, every Christian, every man of God, every woman, everybody that's ever done anything for the Lord, they start with those five steps. They start with a warning. They move. They prepare, they condemn, and they become. Every preacher you've ever seen, every Susanna Wesley, all the great women, everybody you've ever known that done anything for God, they go through that path. They have to move. They have to take the warning of God, just like Brother Ben. It's amazing what God's done with him. I was telling somebody the other day, he's just been way out there, man. I didn't tell him to go start preaching some of these fast foods. God told him. I didn't tell him to read his Bible through in 45 days. He took the 90 days and said, I don't like that. That's too long. I'm going to go 45. Shut that thing right now. I didn't tell him to do that. I didn't mention to him. God told him to do it. He said, what is he doing? He moved. What did he do? He prepared. What did he do? He condemned the world. What did he do? He became. We'll get to you later, okay? And he became an heir of righteousness. And Noah, there was a faith of Noah. One of the greatest Christians ever lived was a young man, was a preacher by the name of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a famous evangelist. Everybody's heard of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was also a famous baseball player. He had a lot of records in baseball. He was well off, had a lot of money, Brother Josh, a lot of things. He was an old drunkard. He sat down on the street in Chicago one time and the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission come out there and some girls singing and invited him to the service. And he told the fellas there, some other drunks that was with him, he said, boys, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go in here and give my life to Jesus Christ. Billy Sunday said later, he said, I knew about as much about theology as a jackrabbit knows about ping pong, but I got saved. Billy Sunday said one day, he said, I looked out the world, looked at everything going on, and he said, I took everything I had. I took my family. I took my wife. I took my children. I took my career. I took the pulse of people. He said, I took it all and condemned. He said, I put it all on the faith of Jesus Christ and condemned the world. And he said, you know what? I won. Best thing I ever did was a 20-year-old boy. I prayed and received Jesus Christ as my Savior 42 years ago. Best thing I ever did. Second best thing I ever did one day was crawl in a closet and said, okay, God, I'm done. Take it and do what you can with this man right here. There's not much here, Lord. But what you got, God, what I got, take it. Best thing I ever did. Those two things. See, what'd you do? I was warned, I moved, I prepared, condemned, became. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, asked my wife to come play this morning, tonight. God spoke to you. Get hold of God. Get hold of God. Here's the altar. This is where things are altered. This is where we do business. This is where God gets hold of you. You know what we do? We get tangled in the world. The Bible says over there, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It said no soldier entangles himself the affairs of this world. We get entangled too much in the world. You know what it does? It limits us serving God. You know what we do? We get our heart and our eyes on the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know what happens? We get caught up in it sometimes. We all do it. We get caught up in cars and football and politics and shopping.